just a few brief principles this morning. I want you to think about purity and what a disease does to a person. You get a disease, things happen to your body. You don't feel the same. You don't see things the same. Everything is affected. You're slowed down. Your perception of things is different. Your passion for life kind of goes away. Any of you have been sick this winter? It's no fun, right? You just slow down and you're not functioning. You're not effective. That's what impurity in our lives spiritually does to us. It messes up our view of everything. It slows us down, messes up our passion. It messes up our productivity. We're not going to be very useful for God if we're dirty. And we're talking about our marriages here, our relationships, our jobs. We're talking about real life. And how many hours do you have in a day?
24.
Same as me. And we waste many of those hours. We waste days, weeks, months, years, because we've allowed an iniquity to come into our life that adds to another iniquity, and it spreads like a cancer in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want to please God in my marriage. I want to please God in my job. I want to please God when I talk to my neighbor. I want to please God when I'm alone and when I'm with other people. I want to please God when I'm looking on the internet. I want to please God when I'm, whatever I'm doing, walking down the street, humming a tune. I want to please God in everything. Well, let's look at 2 Timothy. I love these verses. Talks about the seal of God and the mark that we have in our life. Here it is, 2 Timothy 2:19. Who wants to read that? 2:19 through 21. Brother Mike?
Nevertheless, the foundation of God, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Prepared unto every good work, meet for the master's use. A man, a believer of honor, sanctified, holy. I want that. But it only comes in verse 21. If a man what? Therefore, purge himself. And that's what we're talking about today. How can I practically in my life have a pure life? How can I purge myself? You know, we have a great responsibility, because as the men of the church go, so goes the church. You believe that? And if you're impure in your life, you're leading other people in impurity. The children, the ladies, and other men. And we're to not just lead a church. Everywhere you go, you're leading your family if you're married. You may be married one day if you're not married. You're leading your work. You're working somewhere. You're leading your neighbors. You're leading. And if you've got impurity in your life, no one else may know but God knows. And God wants you to be free from that. And we can purge ourselves. So, what is the goal of this brief study today? Number one, that we would have and enjoy, because I'm telling you, purity is so wonderful. Have and enjoy an ongoing purity in our lives. You believe purity is better than impurity? You believe that? Why do we so often act differently than that? And then my hope is that through this, because when you get a principle in your life, you start teaching it to others when you really believe it. Isn't that right? You teach others also. My hope is that you'll get these principles of purity in your life, and you'll get so excited about it that you'll teach your wife, if you're married, that you'll teach your coworkers, that you'll teach your friends. Who's in your sphere of influence that knows the Lord? And if somebody doesn't know the Lord, you know what? They need salvation, and they can be totally cleansed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is purity? Purity is maintaining a right, upright, honorable relationship with God and with others. In other words, it's enjoying the presence of God and the absence of habitual sin. It's the absence of habitual sin. Doesn't mean that we're sinless, but we don't have habits of sin that dominate us. We're not enslaved to it. All right, now, so let me give you four general principles of purity, and then we're going to stop. I have more than that, but I really want to leave time for prayer. And the first principle is that purity precedes power. Do you want to have power in your life? You've got to be pure. Acts 19, verses 18 through 20. Somebody turn there and read that. And what we're going to find out here is that if you are pure, God's word is going to hit you harder. It's going to hit you hard if you're pure. If you maintain a pure heart, what is the difference between the person that sits there in the seat and just is yawning and the other person that's on the edge of their seat? A pure heart. Acts chapter 19, verses 18 through 20. Somebody stand and read that. Brother Laurel?
And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which were Jews, curious hearts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed.
Who are these people in this passage? What is this talking about? Paul is, where is he at in this passage? If you're familiar with this book burning, he's in Ephesus, right? And these people became believers in Jesus Christ, and in this particular instance, they're confessing their sins, and they take these scrolls, they're called books, but these are scrolls that have their ideas of practicing sorcery, and they want to rid their life of all that God hates. Can you testify that if you love something, you hate something else? Can you testify to that? You love your wife, you don't hate other women, but you don't have any interest in them, right? And if you love God, you don't have interest in other ways of getting things besides God, like sorcery, or like, I'm going to put all my hope in my bank account, you know, because I can get everything through the bank account. I mean, power is everything. Money is power. I'm going to get a lot of money and I'm going to have power. No, God is all powerful. And so these people got rid of these things that they were trusting in, no matter what the cost. I don't know how much this costs them, but many times this costs. And it says, so mightily grew the word of God. That is, geographically, the word of God spread. And it prevailed, that is, it prevailed in power personally over the lives of these people. It prevailed over them. It overcame them, and they overcame sin. And if you want to have that constant victory, you've got to constantly be getting rid of sin in your life. You've got to cleanse yourself, and you will see that the power of God is present. Now, power doesn't necessarily mean success in your occupation. It doesn't necessarily mean success in your life. Success or failure doesn't tell us if God's power is on your life. When Joseph is sitting in the pit, I would call that failure, wouldn't you? But did he have the power of God on his life? Failure and success do not measure our spirituality. It is our purity. Purity measures whether we know God or not. And so we're talking about, we want to be men who are not knocked down by the influences of evil. What knocks you down in your life? What has power over you? What are you willing to sin to get? What are you willing to sin to get? Is there anything in your life that you're willing to compromise? You've got that in the place of God. I want to give you another example, and turn over to Genesis 35 and verses 1 through 5. And here we talk about Jacob. We look at Jacob. And I'll just go ahead and read that. Genesis 35, verses 1 through 5. And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. What happened when Jacob met face to face with God? He influenced those around him, the pagan nations, his neighbors. They began to turn to God. They began to forsake their idols. They began to not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God was with Jacob. And when you are living a pure life, you're going to have influence over other people. I don't understand how God works on other people's hearts. I don't understand it. But I know that if I'm a pure vessel, God's going to use me. It's not me that's doing it. It's God. And He's so pleased. He is so pleased to use a pure vessel. You're going to have power. First of all, let me review. You're going to have power in the Word. The Word is going to prevail over you. And you're going to rid your life of all these things like the Ephesians did. You're going to have discernment. Well, how much time should I spend on the internet? Let me see. Return to the concordance. Internet. Oh, it's not there. Guess I can spend all the time I want, right? No. No. The Bible. Do you believe the Bible has the answer for that question? The Bible is sufficient. It is profitable for all of life and godliness, Peter says. That's everything. That's internet usage, too. How about redeeming the time? The days are evil. Are you buying up the time? Are you wasting it? Is it good to go on the internet? Yeah, you can please God on the internet. Absolutely. Can you please God with the TV? Absolutely. Can you please God with the radio? Yes. Can you please God with your car? Sure. You can also dishonor God with your car. Right? Everything. So, you want to have power in the Word? You want to understand the Word? Keep yourself pure. You want to have power over your neighbors? And influence over men. God will use you. He'll give you encounters, divine appointments, and He'll use you. And He'll overcome their hearts. You won't, but He will. Now, purity not only precedes power, it also precedes perception. And we all know this verse in Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure. Say that with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you are pure in your heart, honest, without guile, trying to serve the Lord to the best of your ability, everything in your life is going to be touched by that. You're going to be soaked. You're going to be God saturated. And everything that you see will have the imprint that God of who God is. God's attributes. Tell me who God is. So, somebody give me an attribute of God this morning. Holy. If you are pure in heart, you're going to see that God is holy, separate from sin, and a little bit of sin in your life is not going to go very well if you're pure in heart. He's holy. You're not going to excuse sin in your life. That's pretty important when you're talking to your wife and it's 11 o'clock at night and you're tired and you want to win the argument. Isn't it important to know that God is holy right about then and there and just to quiet your mouth and go to sleep? Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Pretty good, huh? To know that God is holy. What else? What else is God? He is love. Isn't it important to know that God is love when maybe you're doing right, and because you're doing right at your workplace, you get a little pressure, and you don't feel a lot of love in your workplace? Isn't it good to know that you're never forsaken by God? Because you don't need the love of other people. You're not here to please men. Who are you here to please? the God who loves you and gave His life for you. What else? You see, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When that hard situation at work comes, you're not going to compromise because God is holy. Well, the boss says, slide the numbers a little bit. Sorry, I cannot do that. And you don't do it in an arrogant way. You do it in a very humble way because you know that God is holy. What else is God?
Merciful.
He's merciful. And when that guy cuts you off in traffic, instead of hand, don't press the horn. You actually are settled because you knew that God forgave you for so many things that you've done. You're not going to draw vengeance on anyone else. How about God's immutable attributes, or non-communicable attributes, things that we don't, you know, things that we don't have that God has, like omnipotence. God is sovereign. This last week, Dan and Courtney, their first son, they found out that he has an incurable disease, a genetic disease. You know, we're not spared from those things as Christians. In fact, I was talking to Dan last night and he said, we were talking about the fact that what a gift it is that God has entrusted Luke to Dan and Courtney, because they have the awesome opportunity to use these circumstances to reflect the character of God in their lives. What a privilege that is. And they're not wringing their hands. This is amazing. Any of you that have talked with them, they are at peace. Yes, they have their struggles and they're going to struggle, but they're taking it all to God because they know they can't do anything about it. They can't do one thing to change the situation. But they can entrust themselves to a loving, sovereign Creator who has a purpose, and He works all things together for good. Everything in this universe that God allows, He's going to work it for a benevolent, good, wonderful, glorious, good beyond our wildest imagination purpose. So if you keep yourself pure, you're going to see these things. If not, you're going to be bitter, you're going to be tied up, you're going to be, your heart is going to burn with anger, you're going to get ticked off, at upset at the littlest things. Right? If you don't have your eyes on God, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay. Purity precedes perception. Thirdly, passion. So, purity precedes perception. It precedes passion. And what I want to do is I want you to look at 1 Peter 1:22. And what we're going to find out here is that when you're pure in heart, the love of God resides in your heart and you passionately love people. You love who God loves. And you especially love the brethren. And it leads you to service. It leads you to do all kinds of things that you normally wouldn't have the motivation to do. Even when your body is tired, love motivates you. That's kind of exciting and encouraging, isn't it? How about Brother Gary, would you read 1 Peter 1:22?
Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love, the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
So in order to have that love, what do you first have to do? Purify your soul. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. I love how it talks about how do we purify our souls. Do we purify it by just stopping? No. Just stopping doing something. Alcoholics Anonymous can help you stop doing something. The way you purify your life is by doing right. You stop doing something by doing something that is right. You obey God. And so, seeing that you've purified your souls in obeying the truth, you've stopped from sinning because you've started loving God and doing right, and that fills your heart with love. And so, you know what? Men who have their lives revolving around the little things that don't give us satisfaction, and they have those idols, they put their hopes in self-gratification, in selfishness, in their own kingdom, and they revolve their lives around themselves, do you know what? God's not flowing through their lives. And I want you to see this in Titus 2:11. Because you know what their passion is? If your whole life is centered around yourself and what you can get, then your passion is for yourself, not for others. You're never going to help anyone else. You're never going to see somebody else in need. You're going to pass by that guy who's hurting and you're going to say, be warmed and filled, and you're just going to go on your way. You're going to be like all the other Jews that passed that Jew that was beaten up in Jericho, and that Samaritan stopped because he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about the one who is hurting. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings us salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Essentially, what does that say? Denying ungodliness, we're to say no to sin. But how do we motivate that? Looking for what? That blessed hope and the glorious appearing. In essence, look to Jesus, and that will motivate you to put off sin, to ungodly lusts. And one person said this: sin is what we do when we are not satisfied in God. Sin is what we do when we are not satisfied in God. Does sin satisfy? Passing pleasure. It satisfies for a season. It does satisfy, but what is the purpose of food? Is it just to fill us? It's to nourish us. But why did God give us food? Why did God give us food? Think about it. There's pleasure in food, right? What did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. Remember, you preached on this, I think, on Sunday night, right, Brother Mike? The feeding of the 5,000? Okay? It was part of it. Okay, so he does this miracle. He feeds the 5,000. And they get filled. They love the pleasure of eating food. And they want to make him king. Well, isn't that why Jesus came into the world, to be the king of our lives? Jesus runs away from them. He hides from them. And he tells something amazing in John 6:27. Let's read it. John 6:27. Somebody stand and read that. Brother Chris, would you stand and read? You need a Bible? Okay. John 6:27.
Labor not, so the meat which perisheth, for that he which endureth an everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed.
How much time do we spend in earthly pleasures trying to get the next best thing? Labor not for those things that perish, that give you temporary satisfaction. What is food all about in this verse? It's to give us a little picture of Jesus. All the pleasures on earth point to pleasure in God. We're not to find our pleasure in God. We're to see the example of pleasure. And this is just a little taste of what God is. And so, our passion should be for God, not for anything on this earth. And the way that you resist sin is not simply say, I'm not going to sin, 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 I hate sin, I hate sin, I hate sin. You're not going to sin that way. I mean, you're not going to stop sinning that way. You got to get hungry for God. And then you'll stop sinning. How about your wife? Okay? If you're married and you're satisfied with your wife and you're totally satisfied, you don't want anything else because you're full. How about eating? If you go get a steak or whatever your favorite food is and you just chow down on it, and then on the way home you're driving by Mickey D's, what do you feel like when you smell that from Mickey D's? Not very good, right? Because you've just had steak or whatever you like. You've just had your favorite meal. I don't want something less than the best. Now, why would we just eat and eat or put our passion on this or that fleeting thing? Our passion should be for God, and that is how we will stop sinning. Finally, purity precedes profitability. We get this term profitability from 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Turn back there. We started there. We're going to end there. 'In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, there it is, profitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for God. I don't have very much time left on this earth, neither do you. We're talking about Luke. How long is Luke going to live? We don't know. We don't know. How long are you going to live? We don't know. We all have a vapor on this earth, and we are going to stand face to face with God when we die. Aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you glad for redemption in Jesus Christ? Because that's where my hope is standing. One of the things that God does through His redeemed creatures is He produces fruit through them. I want my life to count. We were at Purdue University the other day and got to talk with my nephew. I saw my nephew grow up. Some of you have seen this in your own lives. Infancy to college, and you're like, how did he get in college? How did they let him in there? He's way too young. I mean, this couldn't have happened. But he is. And he doesn't know the Lord. We got to go to this 75-year-old restaurant where his grandfather, when his grandfather went to Purdue, that's where he ate. And we went in there and we ate in there, and we got to share with him the gospel. And he listened, and he was so sincere, and he had some interesting ideas too. But I want Adam to be saved. I want to see Adam in heaven. How about you? Do you have some people that you want to see in heaven? How about your work situation? Are there some things in your work situation? Are you there just to work, or are you there to influence people for God? How about your marriage, if you're married? Do you want your marriage? Do you want your wife to love God with all of her heart? We could camp there. Your wife is a reflection of you. Does your wife love God with all of her heart? If she doesn't, then you got to look at yourself. All this stuff counts. There's no do-overs, is there? So, purity, it's important. It affects every part of us. And we've got to walk circumspectly. And we've got to have the right ideas about purity and sanctification. It's not just willpower. It's getting a passion for Jesus. When you have that passion for Jesus, you're going to see everything rightly. You're going to put everything through the sieve of God, who He is. You're going to see everything rightly. Then you're going to have influence over people, and you're going to be fit for the Master's use. I don't know how God does things, but I know who He uses. He uses people, men, who have put off the wickedness of this world. Now, practical thing. This is what I want you to do. Think through your life right now. Think through your life. What is in your life that displeases God? What kind of a sinful habit do you have that just you've been excusing? Remember we said God is holy, right? Did He stop being holy this morning when you got up? Is there any excuse for any sin in your life? You know the truth. What is it that God is saying? You've got to stop doing that. You've got to stop doing that. You would be so much more used of God, Matt Black, if you would put this off. He might just do something amazing through you today. If you would just surrender this at His altar, you might see something amazing in the Word of God. I might just give you something that just blows your socks off in the Word that makes you more loving towards somebody. And you just meet their need out of nowhere and you just encourage them. And they're like, where did this guy come from? Why does he love me? Because the Lord sent him that direction. Purity is important, isn't it? Are you pure? Is your life pure? I hope so. The power of God, perception of God, profitability. I want to see that in our lives. Who knows what God will do.